There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know, there's nothing funny about brain injuries, but we are going to have a laugh with Dina from Taft. See what I did there, Dina? I'll take it. Boom, intro done. Let's go. Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Lauren.
And we are
the Neuro Nerds. Yes, that was on time.
I feel pretty good about that.
Neuro Nerds.
Welcome to the Neuro Nerds. Say it every week, mean it every week. It's a very special episode with me from TAF, the chief cook and the bottle washer of TAF, Dina Chan herself. What's up, Dina? How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, now can you explain to the people why you call yourself the chief, the bottle washer, and damn it, I keep on messing up the middle. It's like I have a brain injury or something, Dina.
So I think it's pretty old, chief cook and bottle washer. It's just basically the name to give someone who kind of has a lot of hats. And my actual title at TAF, I invented, it's community engagement manager. And interestingly, I didn't even know that when I invented it, that exists in other nonprofits and in the like outside nonprofit world. But yeah, so my title is officially, community community engagement manager.
All right. So basically you're a Renaissance woman. You're a woman who wears many hats, totally. You spin many plates, and you just kind of do it all.
I certainly try.
And for those people out there, the other brain injured people and some of the normies that listen to this show that aren't familiar with TAF, can you tell the people what TAF stands for?
Sure. So TAF is a lot easier to say, but our long title is the Aneurysm and AVM Foundation. We were actually formed eons ago, and then as the Aneurysm Foundation. So like if you're ever trying to discover how to give us money, so to speak, in donations, every great once in a while it'll come up and someone will say, hey, is this you? And I'm like, oh yeah, we operate under a DBA, which is the Aneurysm and AVM Foundation.
Yeah. See, that's not confusing at all.
Oh yeah. So I wasn't here for that part of it, but when you get into the details of how we were formed, it's such a beautiful story that I was like, oh, okay.
So how did you start with TAF and what brought you into this community?
Yeah, those are two different questions. So I'm going to answer them in reverse order. So what brought me into the community, I didn't realize I was in it, actually. There was zero community except my brothers and my dad and I. My mom passed away on Christmas Day when I was 16 from a burst aneurysm. And at the time, there was quite literally no community. There were no people. There was no like service. There was nothing. There was just, oh, hey, your life just went to hell. And good luck being an adult. And so that was, you know, now the new trajectory of my life. And it was imprinted on my poor little tiny 16-year-old soul. And eventually, though, I graduated from college, and my first job was as a student services coordinator at another college. And I realized quite quickly how much I loved being of service to people. It didn't really matter what it was, who it was, how it happened. So I continued in education for a while, and then going on to be a director, actually, and then decided I didn't like wearing pinstripes and high heels, and decided, very luckily, got a chance to serve at a giant church in Palos Verdes in California. And really, really lucky, because I learned a lot of who I am and how I serve there. So it's like we took all those technical things that I knew how to do and formatted them within that broken little soul person and put them back together again. So anyway, lo and behold, my husband decides he wants to go to grad school. Cheeky little bastard. And he's like, oh, and I got into this great school, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, where is that? I've never heard of it. It happens to be in Northern California. And I'm like, have fun. That's like 2 years, man. See you later.
You are a great significant other.
Right? I'm like, great. We'll be here when you get back. And of course, that was not going to be an option. So we traveled our fannies up the five a little bit with him. And then here I was, for the first time in my life since 13, I would like to say since 16, but really since 13, where I didn't have anything I had to do. I didn't have a job. I sent out all these like emails and whatever. So you kind of get things trickling back to you like, oh, you'd be good at this, so come and apply for that. And one day I got one and it read like my life story. And I sent it to my husband immediately, thinking that he was, again, being cheeky, and it was fake, right? I said, ha ha, very funny. And he got up out of class and called me, and he's like, that's real. Like, this is legit. You should go and apply for this job. And it was for TAF. And interestingly, I got rid of all pretense. And I just said, look, if you want someone who is passionately interested in the people that you serve and knows how to help you and will be there through the thick and thin of what nonprofit is, like, that's me. Like, you need me just as much as I need you. And I was hired very, very soon after that. So it was a great happenstance, I guess, or I kind of think more like serendipity.
Of course. I think it's a match made in heaven almost, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for someone who is hardwired to serve and like that's the thing that pleases me, like it's almost wrong. It's not.
It's so weird.
So it's very lucky. If I were a board member of TAF, I'd be like, oh, who is this person? Wow, you're like a feed her and she's just like going gangbusters. You're like an air fern.
You're kind of like a Stepford wife. It's really weird.
Right, just like plug her in.
I think that's amazing. Also, because look, we just met recently. You and I, it's not like we've been homies like a really, really long time, and we connected from jump, which I thought was really cool. Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you in the brain injury family, or are you just brain injury adjacent?
I am in the brain injury family. I don't like brain injury adjacent. I don't get that. In fact, I'll tell you, I have a get out of jail free card. You ready for this?
I am.
So soon after being hired, the person who ran our support group was also the head neurosurgeon's nurse. It's such a lame way to describe that. But anyway, she's amazing. She was like a goddess. She was a goddess. Lisa Hannigan in heaven, I'm telling you right now, you are a goddess. Anyway, she's like, you should come to support group and introduce yourself. Let them know what we do at TAF and let them know how you can help. All right. Okay. So I get my fanny into the city there in San Francisco, which was no easy feat. I'd never been by that point. It was the first time I'd been in there.
Oh, San Francisco is a garbage city. I can't stand it.
I love you, San Francisco. Anyway, so I get there and I just thought, okay, I'm going to park, make sure I don't spend too much money, right? Like go in there, tell them what they need to hear and then zoom out of there.
Right.
It was that day very typical. So we sat in a circle and it started a very open conversation. Lisa was sitting on my left. I was sitting on her right. I wish that she was left-handed or right-handed, pardon me, and she would have started on her right, but she started on her left. And she went all the way around the circle. And so by the time that it came to me, I was so moved. I mean, it's me, good golly. I was so moved by all of their conversation and the way that they interacted with each other and just they're the most amazing people. So instead of just giving my tiny little spiel, right, I told them my whole reason for being in TAF and my whole reason for wanting to serve and yada yada. And I found myself crying. And I asked them very specifically, I said, look, I have been calling myself a survivor this whole time, mm-hmm, because I survived my mother's passing. I didn't walk into the ocean with my pockets full of rocks.
Right.
I survived the diaspora of my family, you know, and I am here raising my own family and I don't hate Christmas. Like, it was such a funny little moment, right? Wow. And but I asked them, I'm like, can I still use this term and be part of this community? And they, I'm not even joking, and some of the people out there who will listen to this will be in that group, and they will say, they will, I'm not fibbing, they all got up and gave me a giant group hug. And it was like so fulfilling and so affirming. And I thought, okay, you know what? It was the first time that I thought to myself, whatever you call your, whatever moniker you are in, you know, if you're calling yourself a survivor, if you're calling yourself, you know, adjacent, if you're whatever you're using, I can get on board with that. Mm-hmm. I will accept whatever that is, and I will find out whatever jargon you use. I want to connect to these people in whatever way is the most important to them, right? So in that moment, they absolutely 100% said, here's your get out of jail free card. Now, all that said, I very rarely use it because I do think that, I do think that actual survivors who have survived the treatment of an or their brain, you know, challenge, whatever that mm-hmm. disease is, or those that are injured from falls or whatever it happens to be, I think that they still get that section of yeah, it's yours. Like that's well, that is your term.
For sure. So I do say that because I ask specifically because you're so passionate and you're so your energy for, you know, my community, I'll say our community, right? It's intense, which I love. And I was just curious. Okay. So like you yourself are not you do not have a brain injury. You are part of this family. You are part of this community because yes, you have suffered. You've suffered. Wow. A really intense suffering, you know, going through what you went through at the time, at the age, this is like really, really intense. Well, I do. So I call people like, I call you normies because you don't have brain injury. But I do say that our, because I'm saying that now, our, because you are part of this community, our community needs more of you and less of me. You know, we need more people.
If there were none of you, I would be happy.
Yeah, we need more people without brain injuries who care as much as you. There are very few that I've come across that I just adore and I just hold, you know, in such a high light. Jane from Heal the Brain, Dr. Karen Sullivan from I Care for Your Brain, just regular normies that just have such a passion and love for our community, you know, and that's how things change. And I'm just so appreciative of you and your passion. I'm really, really sad how that passion started. I am. And it hurts my heart. But I'm so thankful that you've channeled it in such a beautiful way because you've helped so many people. You know, you're kind of like a big deal in the community. I don't know if you know that or not.
I did not know that. That's so sweet.
It is. So like I knew who you were before I knew who you were.
Aww.
You know, specifically from
Emily, I'm sure.
Well, except all the horrible things. No, specifically from my dearest, closest friend, Emily Matheny from Live Intentionally, my friend. She just speaks glowingly of you, like to the point where I met you and I was like, there's no way. There's no way that it's going to be anywhere remotely close. I'm like, oh, no, it's pretty spot on. It's pretty spot on. You're pretty amazing. And I'm very thankful for the impact that you've had on my dear friend. Like, I really am. It just means the world to me.
Well, Emily walks on water herself, you know? I mean, I think one of the blessings, I guess, if that's what we're going to go with here, of being in a community that you didn't choose, right, is that more regularly, once you find the people that are your people within this community, they just keep feeding you with more of your people.
Yes.
So it doesn't surprise me that we all haunt each other. And by the time we get around to physically meeting or like, you know, a Zoom meeting, whatever the hell we're doing these days, you know, that we're already connected because we already share all these other people that we're in love with. So it's really interesting. And again, it's a major blessing.
There are several layers of fake that we all kind of go through when we meet somebody new. After a brain injury, I can speak for this. I can speak for our entire community. There's a certain amount of, you know, forgive the language, there's a certain amount of bullshit that we just don't deal with anymore. We just cut to the chase. We don't have the time to kind of mess around anymore. It's like, hey, are you cool? We're cool. Let's move forward. It's like, oh, you're not really, I don't have time for this. And you just move on. So like, I'm authentically me. And I am bonded with immediately all the other survivors who I've met that are just authentically them, that are happy to be here, that are thankful for the second opportunity that we have in life. And there's a certain bond that we have that is indescribable. You know, we've been through something that nobody can understand unless you've been through it. And then the people that we are bonded with and connect with, it's like, oh my God, why is this like a Puffy song? Tell your friends to come get with my friends so we could be like, you know, we like if like my people that I hold close to my heart, I know every single one of them would get along with my other people, you know? So like M is like, she spoke so highly of you that I knew when I met you, I was like, oh yeah, of course we're going to get along. I just didn't know it was going to like click like this immediately.
Almost immediately, yeah.
Are you a stroke or brain injury survivor looking for community and support? Well, the NeuroNerds are here to help. Join our hashtag YouSoRock Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/YouSoRock to connect with other survivors like you.
Plus, read other inspirational brain injury survivor stories on Joe's blog at joesorocks.com/YouSoRock. And submit your stories there as well. We want to hear them.
And remember,
you so rock.
You know, I will liken it to, it's like the antithesis of that pinstripe high heeled wearing life that I was talking about before.
That sounds horrible.
Where I used to really get down on myself, for lack of a better word, about how easily I love. I love very easily. Right. I am immediately connected. I want to do well. I want to, by you, I mean, by whoever the you is.
Right.
And it used to be this thing where, especially when I was a director, one of my dear friends was another director in the college. And he said, he was my dad's age. So it was kind of a mentory type relationship. Anyway, he said to me one day, he said, why do you keep students in your office so long? Like you have crap to do. Like, what are you doing in there? And I finally just had to say, like, I miss them. I miss being part of their lives. I miss knowing that I did something good that day. Like being a director, you're even further away from the day to day of, you know, that high that you get from serving people. And he's like, you know what? This is constantly going to be something on, like, you're going to, essentially, I was going to get written up for this, right? Like, you're going to get written up for who you are.
Right.
And the great part about being in a place of service consistently is that, yeah, every great once in a while, my heart's going to get squished. Mm-hmm. Every great once in a while. But for the most part, I am going to be on a constant high every day, all the time, knowing that the work that I'm doing is making a difference. Even if all it happened to be that day was someone said, thank you. Oh my gosh, I feel so much better. I mean, I might not have solved the world's ills that day, but I do know that I made a difference that day, and it makes it so much easier because I am two things. I am, as I said before, 100% wired to serve. And so because of that, I love easily. And the other one is I like to work. I would prefer to work than to do most things, which is gross. It's disgusting. So the fact
that are you sure you don't have a brain injury? Because that seems really off to me.
Right? It's so gross. But it is also the thing that saved me after my mom died. Like working was
you threw yourself 100% into it. And I'm sure it was a little bit of escapism.
Oh, escapism totally.
through work. I will say you said, you know, you're not changing the world. You are changing. You're 100% changing the world. And I've said this a million times on podcasts, and I mean it every single time. It sounds grandiose, but every single time we do something and we connect with another survivor and we shift their energy, we make them feel better, we get them on the right path in recovery, we're changing the world. The reach is outstanding because we're not changing that one person's day. We're not changing that one person's life, right? We're putting them in a place where they're in a better mental and physical state, right? So now they're moving forward. They're on the right path. What are they doing? They feel better. They're nicer. They're kinder. They're excited. it's not just them. It's their interactions with their significant other, with their family members, with their coworkers, with their friends, with strangers on the street. So everything we're doing. So then now their interactions with their family, now their family's going out and talking to their friends and they're in a better mood. We are literally changing the world through osmosis. We are. Every single time we help somebody. And I think you and I are kind of like on the same boat where we get energized when we're helping other people. I love it so much.
It has nothing to do with wanting to help any of you. I actually just get high from doing it.
Oh my gosh. You know what's really funny? This is so Lauren and I.
Obviously, I'm kidding, kids.
Yeah. I don't get high on that stuff. I get high on drugs. So Lauren and I started the Neuro Nerds because her and I, our first over a year of recovery, we had nobody to talk to. It was the most isolating, lonely time of our lives.
Yeah.
Until we met one another, we sat for coffee, and it was the first time in my recovery where I was like, I'm going to be able to do this. I can do this. So then we started meeting on a regular basis just for ourselves. We decided to make this podcast selfishly for our own recoveries. We're like, well, I don't care about anybody else. We're doing it for ourselves. Then it turned into like what it's turned into. We're like in 41 countries now. We're like all over the place. So like, but initially it started out because we're selfish. So I understand that high that you get. There's a certain amount of excitement, you know, like when you're able to use, I don't know if you see it or hear it when you're talking to another survivor, not well for you, when you're talking to a survivor, when you hit that note, when you kind of get them to stand upright, when you get them to like walk on the right path, there's a tone, there's a look, there's a glimmer in their eyes. There's a tone in their voice that it's just like, wow, I really impacted this person. I helped this person because I know what it feels like personally. And it's like jet fuel. I just really feel like I can run through a brick wall. And I think you kind of feel that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny. One of the reasons, well, I'll back up. So in my interview, excuse me. I'm sure that sounds really great on a podcast, by the way. I'm sure that sounds amazing.
You know what? I would say cut it out. Nah, let's leave it in. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, there you go. I'm coughing on air. So in my interview, I remember, so Lisa Hannigan, my very dear mentor, was at that interview, as were four other people. So it was a panel interview, obviously. And at one point, I really felt like... I felt like I was probably going to get this job, but also they didn't really know who I was enough. I don't know how else to explain that, because in my mind, to move forward with what they wanted to do, I wanted to do it in a very specific way. So they were, for the longest time, 100%, and we still are almost 100% volunteer led. These are doctors and lawyers, and they are just really amazing people who had extraordinary hearts for this community. And so, you know, in their mind, they've been growing a little bit and they wanted to keep that growth going. And of course, for any nonprofit, that means you have to fundraise. And that's just the things we want to do for everyone cost money. So anyway, in my interview, I remember saying to myself, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get their attention. This is either going to go really, really well, or it's going to go very south. And I said, oh, no. I don't even remember what was happening. I just said that we weren't going to do it. So I'm like, no, I don't think I'm going to do it that way. And I just stopped and let them sit with that because I was waiting. And it felt like 1,000 years had gone by before what I said was, I said, I think the best way to get us to that like next level is, well, here's what I'm going to do. And I said, we are going to serve people so well. We're going to make sure that they never feel that thing that I did. They don't have to feel alone. They are going to have resources. We're going to meet them where they are when they're there, and they're going to be served and so well served that they're going to want to give back. And that could be in volunteerism. That could be literally in donations. I said, we are going to build a community of people who are so well served that they're going to want to give back.
Thank you to our amazing community on Patreon for supporting this podcast.
You can support us too and get different perks and gifts depending on which Neuro Jedi tier you sign up for. For example, if you're on our Neuro Padawan $5 tier, then you're probably listening to this episode a day early before its public release.
Your support helps us grow and continue to create this podcast. Plus, a portion of the proceeds go to a different cause or individual in the brain injury survivor community each month.
Sign up at patreon.com/theneuronerds.
I can't tell you if that went over well. No one's ever gotten back to me. They did hire me, so they either overlooked it or they bought in, right? But my idea in that is there is a giant high, for lack of a better term here, kids, there's a giant high behind knowing how terribly alone I felt. Like, right. I could pinpoint it right now. I could touch it. I know where it lives still all these years later. I am definitely not 16 anymore.
Right.
To know what that feels like, I don't have to physically be in your shoes and say, oh, I'm going through a brain aneurysm, for example, a diagnosis, or my child has an AVM and I don't know where to turn. I don't have to physically be in that to be able to say, I know what it feels like to be alone.
Right.
And that's always a really great place to start, because if you can get people into a space, by the time you get them off the phone, just saying, okay, at least like they'll have my cell phone, for crying out loud. Like, you can, there are ways to reach out, and they do. And I think that even if I never hear from someone again, the fact that they left that conversation knowing that there's someone else out there, there are places to turn, and that I don't have to go through this alone, I hope that that is very impactful. I've felt that it is, but I really hope that it is.
What do you mean hope? That is the only thing.
That's always my hope, always.
It's honestly, I think, for our community, I think it's the number one thing that we need. It's the number one thing that we crave and we just don't have from the majority of the people out there.
Is understanding.
We just want to be heard. We just want to be understood, you know? And you do, oh my gosh, like, you do a hell of a job in getting that across, you know? Like, look, having a brain injury is, I've said it a thousand times, it's isolating. It's isolating. Now, people like that, well, what do you mean? How do you feel isolated? You have a bunch of people around. Isolation does not come from having nobody around.
Right.
It's from not being understood. So you can have a million people around. You know, I've had my significant other by my side every step of the way. She is great. She can't possibly understand what I go through, though. You know, it wasn't so, even though I have her and I have all of the support in the world, I still felt alone. I still felt lonely and sad. It wasn't until I met others in the community where I was like, oh my gosh, like, there's more of me. Now, it's not very, it sucks, because it's like, wow, you're going through what I'm going through. This is horrible. But misery does love company, and it's nice to have company when you're miserable. But that in and of itself, we're less miserable because we have one another, you know? And I think it's even cooler for you specifically, because you are a normie, kind of. I'm not going to say 100%, because you're definitely in, you're in this. You're in the trenches. But
I have so many nerd things to talk about, too.
the fact that you can empathize. Not just sympathize, you can empathize because of what you went through with your mother. You know, that really bonds you to others with brain injuries. And not only do, you know, we feel, I think, heard from you, but we also hear you. We see you. And I just love that synergistic relationship that you bring to the community. I'm blown away by you, Dina.
I've never heard someone's, I hope that's true across the board, because that is so hugely part of why I serve. Like, I tell people all the time that, you know, I'm trying to build a legacy of love, because I feel obligated, because I was so well loved. Literally, my mom had, she was unconscious when we got her. We ran our fannies as fast as we could to the ER. The only conscious time that she had from the time that her brain aneurysm burst to the time that she passed away was with me. She woke up in the car, looked at me, told me she loved me, and passed out again. It's like, you child, your brothers, your family, I was so incredibly loved. I don't know how long it's gonna last, man. Like, I hope this is unending, that I can continue forever and ever, amen. But until I'm not done, like, I have to, I owe her. I don't know how else to explain it. Like,
no, I love the passion that you have and the drive. And look, it's not gonna end, you know? Every day is a new day to keep pushing forward. So I have a thing that I did two Februaries ago. I was like, it wasn't 2020.
All this crazy stuff.
Yeah, it was like 2019 or something like that. And I have a thing where, like, I desperately just want to help the community, you know? Like, I do. That's why I run so many support groups. That's why I have my coaching program now. Like, I desperately want to help. So I was like, you know, I always tell people to reach out to me, and it's like, people don't have it in them. People aren't like, oh, I'm going to reach out and say hi. I hope you guys do, sincerely. So I'm the weird, crazy dude that's reaching out to strangers being like, hey, you have brain injury. Let's talk. So I started a thing a couple of Februarys ago called Operation Brain Buddy Reach Out. So every day in February, because I was like, oh, it's a short month.
Totally.
Every day, I'm going to reach out to a strange survivor, and I'm going to connect, and I'm going to see how many brain buddies I can make, right? It made me feel so amazing that I turned it into Operation Brain Buddy Connect since 2 years ago. So every single day of my life, I reach out to a new survivor every day. And I've done
That's amazing, going on three years.
So like, I understand how you're like, I don't know how long. It's going to keep on going, Dina. There's no end to this. This is not only is a jet fuel, it's like crack. I don't know why we're talking about drugs so much.
I know. Why are we so like, I don't even do drugs. I wish I did, because then I'd have something to compare it to. This is my drug.
Yeah, it is. I don't do drugs. I just smoke weed. there is a certain amount of excitement. There's a certain amount of joy and happiness that is nothing compares. Nothing compares to it. You know, there is your favorite team winning the championship. You know, you hitting the final shots.
I hope then our community is hearing us, because we sound insane and I love it.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I have an excuse. I have a brain injury.
So I just actually am. No, I think that, you know how when you hear yourself for the first time, you're like, do I sound like that? Right? Like, yes. Is that my voice? Right? I'm just kind of hearing us talk right now. And I hope that our community hears that they hear, yeah, hit us up. Yes, we're sincere. It's absolutely going to make us happy to make you happy. Like, we want to help. And I'm saying it in that weird tone because I guess people are not hardwired to want to ask for help, right? We know this about them, right? And also to accept it. Your buddy Jane and I actually joked that we're going to start our own podcast, and it's going to be called, I'm not even kidding you, this is amazing. I love it so much, Jane. I hope you end up listening to this. Okay, our podcast is going to be called Jane and Dina Give Advice, But We Will Not Take It.
You guys are natural teachers. Do as I say, not as I do. Are parents, you know? That is amazing.
The idea that, like, you know, we all, as you said before, we want to be heard. We want to be accepted. We want to find these people. We want to find our people.
Yes.
And one of the first goals of TAF, not to completely bring it back around here to actually talking about TAF, but here we go. One of the first goals was, they're like, we know that there are a bazillion people out there, because as the physicians who are treating them, they're treating them and they're not connecting to each other. And they know that that's going to make a difference. So they're like, what do we do? How do we help that happen? And that's how our annual awareness walk was formed. And it was super tiny the first year, but it was incredibly impactful, because that thing that they thought would happen, that, oh my gosh, I've never met someone like me, right? Like, it happened over and over and over again the whole day. And it is to this day, one of the heart, okay, right? No one's going to listen to this. It's just us talking, right? Just kidding.
Of course.
Don't tell Joe and don't tell Dina, but it is Dina's hardest thing she does all year. Oh my gosh. Until it's actually over, I'm like pulling my hair out sometimes.
Oh, okay,
however, the day of, it's like your wedding or something. It's this moment. It's constant. It's that jazzed up high we're talking about all day long. And it's amazing. And I kind of wish it was like a festival.
Hey,
like 4 days long or something.
Let's make it happen. You know, I've been speaking to several people in the community about putting together a festival, right? And I think that would be amazing. So it's just words right now. You know what I mean? But I think something like that would be.
Oh, well, then we'll just invite everybody to the walk, and you all have your own booth, and then we'll just do it there.
Let's branch it out. let's do it.
Anybody, you know? Is this like a call-in thing yet, Joe? You got a call-in, we'll solve your problems.
You know, you tell your friends to come get with my friends, and then we can be friends. But
they can't see us like doing our silly rap thing right now.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're like hip hop heads over there. I literally have my hat backwards. I love that aspect of the community, and I love that you have this heart. We have the same heart, and I had no idea until talking to you right now. I was like, oh, I'm a servant just like you.
You are, absolutely.
I've been talking to you
for so long. Yeah, like.
Wait, have you?
Absolutely. Oh my God. So One of the crazy things when you're the chief cook and bottle washer is that you are having to do everything. And I don't mean that literally, but mostly. And so I was dragged onto Instagram with like kicking and screaming. In fact, I'll tell you a great little mini story. I was at this conference for neurosurgeons and one of the younger crew, he was like, oh, hey, I really want to get your t-shirt. I said, oh, well, then you have to follow us. And he's like, on Instagram? I said, no, we're only on Facebook and Twitter. But here's the thing. All of the my Twitter is not like the average person's Twitter where like you're angry and yelling about politics. It is just like neurosurgeons and neurologists and endovascular, like they're just talking to each other and I'm in there pretending to be a nerd with them. So I was like, oh, but you're going to communicate with us probably on Twitter anyway. It's like, oh no, I only use Instagram. I said, okay, weirdo. And then he was the third person to say it that day. I'm like, dang it. Ah, fine. We get our most play on Instagram because as we all know, when Facebook's algorithm changed, it dropped all nonprofits. Good luck getting attention there at all. And so lo and behold, here I am. And that was the first time that I thought, oh, I think I know these nerds. Who are these nerds? Oh my gosh, they're in my backyard. So back when I lived in Torrance actually, right. And I worked at that church in Palos Verdes. I didn't realize that not only were you there, but Tawny was there. And like, just so many people were right in my backyard that I now hang out with because I stalked them.
We could have been hanging out all the time.
You know,
what's really funny is I've known Tawny for a while. I actually broke it to Tawny that she had a stroke when we first met. And I've never met Tawny in person.
How is that possible?
I know. Just the timing's never really worked out.
Swim into her lagoon.
I don't swim well. Maybe I'll get some floaties and I'll make my way up to Torrance.
Oh my God, that would be the best picture ever. Her and her tail and you and your floaties.
No. Me and a tail. Let's be honest. I'm going to rock a tail. I'm going to wear one of her tails when we meet.
The tail. But then but mermen also are like naked from the waist up. So you got to like get cool with that first.
No. Yeah, no. I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the tail and then I'm going to have the seashell bra. I got to make it happen. So I've actually met so many survivors over the course of like the year. I did my final, my most recent episode hasn't come out yet, but it will by the time this airs. It was like the year in review. And I'm like, one of the greatest things is actually meeting other survivors in person. And I had the pleasure of meeting my dear sweet Mimi Hayes. She came down to stay with me for a couple of days. I met her in person. I met Tymeek. I don't know if you know Tymeek.
I do.
Tymeek, amazing dude. He came out and he did the podcast. Like I met him in person.
Did you talk about his book?
Of course. Yay. You know, the whole thing was to promo his book, which is just, it's amazing. Becoming the Light, go out and get it. Link in bio. And it's just been such a joy to connect with all of these survivors because it reminds you why we do this. You know, like it's not just, so I'll tell a quick story about like how I started this. When I started this with Lauren, I was like, I'm going to do this. And I started my blog and I'm going to share all my stories and everybody's going to feel all the things that I needed my first year. Everybody's going to have, and I'm going to be here every step of the way. And after my third episode, I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, this
is too much. It was too much. The flood of people. And when I say flood of people, this is very early on. It was like 5 people that reached out and I was like, it's just too many. It's just too many. One, I was done. I was like, I can't do it anymore. Like, yep. I really cannot do it. It's just overwhelming. I'm going to shut down the blog. I'm going to shut down a website. I'm going to shut down the podcast. I can't do it. That morning, I woke up and I was just going to like end everything. I checked my messages and a woman sent me a message thanking me for putting on the podcast and sharing my stories. Her husband, similar age, had basically the same type of brain injury I have. And she's like, seeing your recovery, hearing your stories, seeing you, you know, do what you do, it gives us hope. And I, even right now, I'm fighting it, but I broke down completely. And it was from that moment, early on in this show and early in my recovery, where I was like, yeah, this is bigger than me. It's not just me. That's why I say for you, you're like, oh, well, I don't know how long. This is just going to go. It's bigger than you. Dina, it's bigger than you. There are people that depend on what you do. I am now one of those people. Okay. So anytime you're like tired or struggling, no. Try to pick this big, dumb idiot face. This big, dumb idiot face depends on what you do. And I'm motivated. I'm inspired by what you do. So, and it's definitely necessary. So if I can keep on pushing through, so can you. And we're doing this. We are in this.
Are you finding it hard to recover at home after stroke? Find out if Modus Nova can help you by taking their free online assessment at modusnova.com/theneuronerds. If you haven't heard of Modus Nova, they make devices to help folks with a brain injury, like stroke, regain the use of their affected limbs. For example, the Modus Hand is an AI-powered robotic exoskeleton that helps users do exercises and play games, similar to the way an occupational or a physical therapist might manipulate the limb. It helps survivors get in the thousands of repetitions they need to form new neural pathways. It can assist with hand movements or resist them to provide a personalized exercise experience. If this sounds like something you want to try, visit modusnova.com/theneuronerds to learn more. Use special code TheNeuroNerds when you sign up and get a month free with the 30-day challenge. Just visit modusnova.com/TheNeuroNerds to get started.
We will win.
We are. I'm on Team Taff. So, all right, Dina, what can we do? The NeuroNerds, Taff, as the chief, the cook, and the bottle washer, what can we do together? Because on my end over here, I'm working strongly on the campaign that I put on a couple of years ago, and I'm bringing it back called Change the Face of Stroke.
Oh, I love it. It's so cute.
I love that. So every month we're putting together these morphing videos with stroke survivors from every age, background, ethnicity, like just to show that, yeah, it's not just, not to be racist here, it's not just old, white, wrinkly, white-haired people. Like, it's just not a bunch of Caucasian people. It's not. But that's all you see in the pamphlets. That's all you see on TV. That's all you see in the news.
That's because okay, so you're going to get me started on something that absolutely makes me insane. And because back to that amazing support group, right, that was like, oh, here's your get out of jail free card. Not a month goes by that someone doesn't say to me, and in the same way, the same exact way, it's not the same person, but the same way, I had a stroke, right? I'm like, yes, you did, because of this. And that sounds like sing-songy and pissy, but the reality is that it sounds that way because it's the exact same script, right? It's the exact same thing that I'm saying. And it really pisses me off. I'm not going to beat around the bush here, because inevitably there are more ischemic strokes than there are hemorrhagic strokes. However, right, hemorrhagic strokes freaking kill people. Like all the time. And like half of those people don't survive. And the other half, you know, the majority are going to have some sort of deficit. And so the fact that it's not used in the same way, that we don't talk about stroke as a community or as an umbrella of stroke, right? Like really gets under my skin. Now add to that, there's a part of it from like the scientific side of it, right? Where like all things that are, for example, all brain aneurysm research trickles down to my AVM folks. I know this, and it's great because there are definitely more of them than there are the AVM thing, right? Because it's a rare disease. Anyway, in that same vein, everything ischemic does have a positive effect on the research side for the hemorrhagic folks. So that's great. But that doesn't mean that you should not be talking about them both. And so one of the things that we did years ago is to start talking to, other organizations that are really on the endovascular side of stroke and talk to them about the fact that PS, don't forget, hemorrhagic. So we're constantly like pushing the button, and sometimes we're pushing the bruise. Like, I get it. Doesn't feel good for me to be the one pushing on you, but hey, and then other people were doing, and now kind of everybody is really there, and that community of people that weren't focused on it before, because when you reach out, because you want to do things together, because you're trying to be inclusive, now they're talking hemorrhagic. Yes. And it's huge. But in the grand scheme of the world, you still, if you were like, what's the one with Steve Harvey? What does he host?
He host? The Family Feud?
Family Feud. Yeah. So if you were like to take 100 people, right, and you ask them like, who has a stroke? They would all say, my great aunt Betty, because that's what they think. And it's up to us to change that, man.
That's what I'm trying with the Change the Face of Stroke campaign. Just look, I try not to be a fear monger. People are like, well, you're trying to scare. I am trying to scare everybody a little bit. I said, go outside, look at any face. Any one of these people can have a stroke. I met a few weeks ago my first in utero stroke survivor.
Wow. That
blew my mind. I was like, you can have a stroke and you're not even born yet. It's wild. What's really funny is we just need to educate people. My friends, very bright people, some of them, so, one of them was like, wait, you had a stroke. I was like, yeah. He's like, good Lord, Joe, how old are you? And I'm like, dude, this isn't an age thing. So many people at young ages have strokes. Right. You know, it's wild. And also it's like, wait, right. I thought you were Puerto Rican. And I'm like, I am. They're like, well, isn't that like white people? I'm like, well, if you read the pamphlets, that's what it looks like. That's what it seems. So I'm trying to change that, you know, and I'm trying to educate people as much as I can. Also with hemorrhagic strokes, the type of stroke that I had, most people that have hemorrhagic strokes, it really sucks. They don't make it. And the fact that I did, I'm 1 in 4 basically. And the fact that I'm as functional as I am, I've been called a million times a walking, talking miracle. It doesn't make any sense. So I kind of feel like I have, you know, I'm here for a reason. I think my reason, my purpose is to help others on their journey, you know, and kind of help maybe even educate and prevent some strokes, because also 90% of all strokes can be prevented. Let's not forget that. My stroke 100% could have been prevented. It was my idiocy, my lack of going to the doctor, my lack of taking care of myself mentally, physically, that caused my stroke. Guys, take care of yourselves. Life is beautiful. If not, Dina is going to yell at you.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a mom. I can pull it out. So, who wants to hear my lecture?
So what can we do together? I would love to support TAF in any possible way.
I love this question because the answer is like a multitude. It's like a rainbow, a kaleidoscope of opportunity, right? Because the other thing you don't know about me is that I was trained by some amazing people at that church to just say, let's try it. Let's try it once. If it doesn't work, we'll try something else. I think that the next best thing that is coming up that would be easy to hang out and do is, oh gosh, what is it? Rare Disease Day. So you were talking about February being the shortest one, right? Right. Well, eons ago, Rare Disease Day, you know, was, I think, brought about because of leap year, right? Like that last is rare. It only happens every 4 years, yada, yada. So the last day of February is Rare Disease Day. And a lot of the times I think that because we serve two very specific sides of the community, brain aneurysm and brain AVM, I think that the aneurysm one being so common gets a lot of attention that then is kind of, oh, well, we don't have to pay attention to the AVM thing. Really? Are you sure? Remember that trickle down stuff? Anyway, I think that would be really great because we are blessed and so lucky that something so horrible as an AVM has a treatment, but a lot of rare diseases do not. Right. And the end result for pediatric rare disease is even worse. So the more attention that is paid in that area, the more likely we are to see additional treatment, more money spent in it so that those treatments work, et cetera, et cetera. That would be a really easy coming up soon type of thing.
Look, let's make this happen. Okay. First off, I think you're amazing. Well, clearly I'm amazing.
I know. Wait, we have to take a time out. Wait. So stick a pin in the fact that, yes, we're going to hang out. We're going to do something fun. We've been on for 51 minutes and 59 seconds, 52 minutes. And we have yet to talk Star Wars or comics. Like, we got to get into that in a second too.
True. I will say this. I did say that I was amazing only because I'm the most humble human being you will ever meet.
Of course you are. So I am equally humble and I will tell anyone who'll listen.
So this has been amazing. And
people
I'd love to say
this because they don't want to listen to us talk about our humility.
they listen to the podcast. All they hear is my humility. So I would honestly, I'd love to have you on the podcast again, if you would be interested.
Of course, definitely.
And by the way, whether you said yes or no, I was going to force you to be on again anyways. So that being said, this is the type of show, this is the time of the show where I ask, because we are the neuro nerds over here. We talk a lot of neuro.
Waiting.
We're talking a lot of neuro. Let's talk a little bit about the nerd. What's your nerdum, Dina? What's your nerdum?
Ooh, oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, I have to choose this one?
You don't. There's many.
Okay, good. Okay, so then, like, first and foremost, first boyfriend ever in my head at 4 years old, I love Harrison Ford. I am a giant Ford fan, but specifically in only the two, like, so only Star Wars and only Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And specifically, I'm sorry, Raiders is my favorite movie ever, and I would watch it right now with you, and that would be great. We should do that. Let's watch Raiders. Who wants to watch Raiders?
We should.
And then after that, Disney. So I'm a huge Disney nerd, and we literally went to Disneyland every single Sunday. We would go from the park to the pew, because where we went to church, there was like a 5:30 service. So I'd take the kids from the park and like drive straight to the church.
I'm a Disney fan. Oh, I just broke out my Mickey ears.
Nice. I love it. That's awesome. And then after that, I'd have to say my husband's a huge, like ginormous nerd. So I kind of get sucked into some of his nerddom. Mm-hmm. I do love comics, but to read them, I'm not so much a huge fan of the movies as much anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike them, but like, I'm not a huge, huge fan, but specifically Spider-Man. I loved all the old Spider-Man stuff. That was so good. Gosh, what else am I nerdy about? Oh, that might be it. Like, that's already a lot.
those are some good nerdums. So we're huge Marvel fans over here at the Neuro Nerds, huge Star Wars fans. Do you have so your character would be like Spider-Man? That's like your dude?
Definitely. Because there was I'm trying to remember his name. I'm going to forget it. Yes. I'll tell you later if I think of it, but definitely Spider-Man.
I'm any Harry Potter. Are you a Harry Potter person?
I like the movies, and I happen to be married to a professor who's also a writer. So I'm definitely down for reading. Please read. Please read. Please read. All of you, please read.
That's some thick nerdom. Okay. So when it comes to reading, I do Audible more than anything because since my brain injury, I don't read well.
But I count that.
I lose track. So basically, Mimi, speaking of Mimi Hayes, I read the first 7 pages of her book, I think 11 times before it actually clicked, because I kept on having to go back because I would forget. So Audible is definitely a way to go. The way my brain processes now is very good. So any brain injury survivor out there struggling with reading, check out Audible. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and like podcasts, right? You can take it wherever you go. The nice thing about a book is it's portable. Your podcast is portable. And yes, Audible is portable.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. I'm the biggest Star Wars fan. I have a Yoda tattoo. I have a Punisher tattoo. Oh, I'm like the biggest nerd in the world when it comes to Star Wars. And
okay,
I have
do you want to hear why I love Harrison Ford then?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So my tiny little fanny was dragged to, excuse me again, was dragged to Star Wars, not the first one, the second one. And mm-hmm. and not in the order that you millennials know it. So forget
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you noise. Nerds.
Anyway, so I was there, and at the end, you know, he's frozen in carbonite, and I thought they killed him. I literally thought they killed him. And by this point of the movie, I was in love with him. I don't know how old I was. I was young.
Well, you love him. He knows.
I love him. And so my dad is, I remember this distinctly, is carrying my brother, who is 3 years younger, that he had slept through the whole thing, but he was a baby, in one arm and me in the other. And I'm just like sobbing. I am inconsolable. And it took like weeks for them to convince me like this did not happen. back to Return of the Jedi, I had like this epiphanal moment of, oh my goodness, he's okay. He's alive. He's my favorite. It's okay. And then, so that was like the first one. And then my mom's sister had this really great house. So my aunt had this really great house, and and Raiders had come out, and my parents and her husband, they were talking about how great it was. And it's like, I just knew they were really jazzed about it. And my uncle says, you know what? I'm going to rent it, and we're going to bring it to the house. And now this is like a thing, guys. I'm old. So like, you could rent a VCR, and you could rent the movie, and you could bring it to the house.
Wait, hold on. For a lot of them out there, a VCR.
Right? Totally.
Description and show notes.
Exactly. I was this little bitty kid. And so anyway, this house in my mind, and she has since corrected me, but it was like everything was this beautiful wood. And it was like, and they put us in this alcove where they closed off the hallway. It was this, like I said, this gorgeous wood, and it had these beautiful windows, and they closed them off, and they sat us all in front of it. And so it was myself, my brothers, my cousins, and we're just like this, like just, you guys can't see me. I was just like sitting there in front of it and just enthralled. It was an hour and 50 some odd minutes of me just 100% on board. Like I was so in love with him and just completely loving the adventure of it. And I was scared at the beginning, and like, I'm a total arachnophobe, by the way, which is hilarious. So I hated the beginning and I loved it too. It's just, and he's never disappointed ever. And so P.S. I do know one person who's met him, actually. And I hope he's not as grumpy as he always seems to be. I'd like him to do two things. One, I really want him to stop flying, because I don't want to read that he's crash landed in Torrance again.
Yeah, I don't want him to crash again.
I know. And two, if you're looking for someone to rescue, because he keeps rescuing people, like, I am available.
Hey, Harrison Ford, if you're listening, I am also available to be rescued. Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there. So what's really funny is Harrison Ford, he's been dying for his character, for Han Solo to die, since like the first Star Wars movie.
I know.
He was like begging George Lucas. He's like, can you just put him out of his misery? Please, can you just put him out? He's like the happiest guy in the world. But, you know, he's an icon. I also loved him in Blade Runner. Blade Runner I thought was great.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Did you like the second movie? I loved it so much. I thought it was great. Oh, my God.
I thought it was great. Anybody who didn't like that movie, watch it again. Also, if you watch it again, maybe smoke a joint. It might make it a little bit more pleasurable for you.
I loved it so much. So again, major geek husband, right? He's like, mm-hmm. You have to watch Blade Runner with me. I was like, I've already seen it. And like, it's not my favorite Harrison Ford look, right? Like, he's totally got the shaved head and everything. I was like, and I'd seen it maybe twice before we watched it. And it's like, it really leaves me with such a, like, I feel depleted when I'm done watching it. I'm like, it's just too sad. I don't want to watch it. So he's like, no, watch it with me. Okay, it was better because Mr. Nerd like brought in his own stuff and like, all right, whatever. The second movie got the aesthetic right. It got the feel right. It got like literally everything was perfect. And I was just so, okay, yeah, people go see that movie again. Yeah, also,
visually, it was amazing. Stunning.
Yeah. Oh my God, so pretty to look at. In fact, so was Dune for that same reason. So freaking
still haven't seen a new one. Haven't seen a new one. I know.
I would say we should stop talking, but I'm loving it too much. When we're done, you have to stop what you're doing and go watch the movie.
Yeah.
I was dragged kicking and screaming because I hated the first one. I know, please don't cancel me. Anyway, I hated the first one and I was like, I don't want to watch this stupid kid. I don't want to watch, like, I don't want to do any of this.
I know. Yeah, so the Timothy Chalamet or whatever, something about his face, I just want to punch it. But I know he's a good actor.
He does have a punchable face.
He does. It's really annoying. I just kind of want to push him down a flight of steps, like in the most loving way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He's incredibly talented, but I think he knows it. And we hang out, so I know him intimately and all. Yeah.
It's not like he's as humble as Joe Borges, the most humble human being in the world.
Right. And I'm second humblest, I guess.
I remember
my thing I had to tell you.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Okay. So the reason I fell in love with reading Spider-Man was because I liked it from the number one. But they have those omnibus, right? Like where you can read them all.
Right.
And by the time I finished, like maybe the third book or something, it came to Kraven the Hunter.
Oh my goodness. You know, Kraven the Hunter has just been cast. Right?
I heard. I don't want to know anything else. Like, this is the part where I make my nerd family like not tell me anything. No one tell me anything. I don't want to know. I want to be surprised. Like, they spoiled who the Punisher was for me. And I was like, dang it. I didn't want to know. See, exactly. I mean, granted, that casting was perfect, but still. And we're not talking the movie, people. We're talking the TV show. But anyway, yeah. So Kraven the Hunter was just so good. Plus, I think it's McFarlane who does that.
Yes.
The covers, right? Yeah. And the one with all the spiders on it, which I know being an arachnophobe, you're not supposed to love that. But you have to understand, if you're a real arachnophobe, you kind of love spiders.
You're aware. You're not. I have arachnophobia. How did I get arachnophobia? After I watched the movie Arachnophobia.
I tried to cure myself by watching that movie. Are you kidding?
That movie can F right off. Because like I can picture him, like I'm a hairy dude. I can picture him crawling on the hairs of my legs and the scene where it came out of the nose.
No. The worst part is when she's in the shower and it literally crawls all the way down her body and they show it and you're like,
No, thank you. Even if one of those spiders is radioactive, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, Joe. At the Los Angeles History Museum, which is not that far from you, right? So at the History Museum, once a year, they have this thing called, maybe it's not actually called this. My family calls it the Bug Fair. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they put out bazillions of different bugs in display cases all over the museum. And they also bring in arachnids. They additionally, outside in this giant tent, they bring in like B and C celebs, and they cook them. So I would bring the girls with me. We would eat the bugs. We would touch the bugs. We did everything. And then we got in line. Now, this is the first time. We've been many times, but the first time we got in this line, and I didn't know what we were in line for, because once you kind of imagine it's like a Disney line, right? Like you get in it, you're not even sure what's up ahead of you, but you're like following along with the crowd. So anyway, we get up to a space and I had turned away from them and they were really little at this time. And I turned back and one of them, these are two beautiful, tiny, beautiful, perfect little girls. One of them has her hand out and they put a scorpion in it. And I was like, oh, I was like so scared. And at the same time, you don't want to say crap because—
No, you don't.
A, you don't want your kids to grow up being afraid of anything.
Right, B, you don't want to imprint that on them at such a
exactly.
young age.
Exactly, thank you, thank you. And B, how cool is it that she's doing it? Like, that's right. neat. And C, I don't want to piss that thing off. Like, please do not sting my kid or, like, be dropped on the floor and we're the jerks who, like, squished your arachnid or whatever. So anyway, this is happening at the same time, Joe. Do you know what's going through my head? I remember being in college, and I'd heard of, there's like this tribe. Forgive me, those of you who know the answer, there's a tribe that, like, eats its fear, right? Yeah. And I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm eating a spider. Like, that's not going to happen. Never know how. I don't care how many bugs I just ate getting in here. That's not happening. So, but next to the scorpion was a guy who was letting you hold his tarantula.
Nope. I'm out.
And I thought, okay, I can't eat it, but I bet you I could hold it. I bet this is going to be it. This is going to be my arachnophobia movie. Like, I'm finally going to cure myself, right?
Fuck that noise. Sorry.
So, right. And so I go up to my beautiful, tiny baby child who's holding something that could hurt her. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And he puts this, okay, a tarantula is very light. I did not know this. I thought it was going to be very weighty. So that was the first thing that happened. It's like, oh my gosh, he's so, like, there's nothing. He's nothing. Why am I afraid of this thing? The second, almost simultaneous thought was, he's been passed around all day and I'm going to be the a-hole who he decides he doesn't like. And so almost instantaneously, I was like, take it. And the guy had turned to talk to someone like next to me. I was like, you have to take him now. By the time it got out of my hand, I was like drenched in sweat and so upset.
I would have thrown that thing like I was Tom Brady throwing a 60-yard touchdown. It would have gone so far. No, thank you.
I was so committed to this as being the way to do it that I tried it the next year and the year after that and the year after that.
Has it worked?
It didn't. But I think part of the problem is me. Definitely me. The other problem is that I never saw that sweet, tiny, pretty tarantula again. They got uglier and hairier and disgusting-er the more I went. So, like, the last time I did it, I think I had that spider in my hand for, like, a hot second.
Burn it with fire. That's what I say about all of the spiders. Like, we at our old house, we had, like, a bunch of spiders, and I was like, you know what we should do? We should take one and put it on a spike and leave it at the front door as an example to all the spider buddies to get the hell out of my house.
I can't believe you say that. I say that in my own house. Okay, so my policy. All right, this is going to be the last thing. You guys are going to be like, what were they originally talking about? All right, so my policy in the house now, because I've made my poor, sweet husband kill so many spiders that he feels like he's not going to get into heaven before I do. Like, he's like, I'm going to be like a year behind you. Anyway, so my policy is if you are doing your spider duty, right? Mm-hmm. Awesome. I see you. You're doing your thing. You keep doing it. I'm not going to mess with you. But if you are stupid enough to not have gotten the memo and you land on me or you touch me in some way or you're in my freaking bed,
I will
not only destroy you, there will be tiny little arachnids off, like, generations later. They will write songs about this day. They will talk about the giant who killed their great, 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 great granny.
I'm gonna up the game. I'm gonna film it and I'm gonna make like a hostile version for the arachnid community. Take that, guys. Stay out of my house. Disgusting, filthy, eight-legged creatures. Jeez. Animals.
What people don't know is that in California, you're literally living on top of an anthill. So, like, yeah. We're busy, like, yelling about spiders. And honestly, we should be complaining about ants, but whatever.
Yeah, I like Ant-Man.
Ant-Man's still, like, the of all of them, the ones that I'm like, oh, I can get down for that because they're still cute and sweet. I'm sorry to all the Marvel fans who are going to be mad about this, but.
Hey, I'm a Marvel fan and I'm mad about it.
But I know. Be mad at me. I'm tired of your four-hour movies that don't go anywhere.
They go into the next movie and bring you. And also, I'm sorry, Dina. I'm sorry you don't like
you're really
joy and happiness and fun and excitement. I'm sorry for that.
I love joy and I love happiness and I love excitement. But I do think that, like, you know, the people who make other movies can make joyous, happy, exciting movies too.
Yeah. Yeah. But do they have infinity gauntlets? So, look, Dina, this has been amazing. I've really enjoyed having a conversation about spiders and how disgusting they are. I truly am impressed with your passion, your care, and your love. And it means the world to me. And I don't like to speak for the whole community, but I think I can in this moment speak for the entire community and say, like, I really thank you for who you are and what you do for all of us. It's essential, it's necessary, and I'm so thankful that you're here for us, and I truly, truly appreciate that. And the Neuro Nerds over here, we are always here to help in any possible way with TAF. Let's figure out a way for us all work together selfishly, yeah, so we can just hang out and talk a little smack, talk about, yep, killing spiders, all that happy fun stuff. I'm really excited. February is going to be a good month. Let's figure out how to, like, do something together. Let's figure out how to raise awareness, and let's figure out how to take over the world.
That's right. And we don't even need our infinity gauntlets.
No, we don't. But we will be snapping, but mostly like jazz snapping, you know?
So, Dina, like thank ugly you. Poets.
You take the poetry, I'll take the ugly. Dina, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's at this point of the show where we give out all the socials. If you want to reach out to my tiny ass-kicking co-host, Lauren, you can reach out to her at Lauren L. Manzano on Instagram. Woo! You want to reach out to me at Joe Soul Rocks on all the socials. Reach out to us, the Neuro Nerds, at the Neuro Nerds on all the socials. Also, you want to reach out to Dina and Taff, you can reach out to Dina at TAF_org. Am I right?
Perfect. Yep.
Boom. Joe remembers everything. All this stuff will be in the show notes. Dina, I cannot thank you enough. I am really honestly blown away by who you are and what you do. And on that, Joe is humbled by this incredible human being over here's note. This Neuro Nerd is out. Dina, that was awesome. By the way, I cannot believe that you talked about a VCR.
Neuro Nerds. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Your reviews help us grow and reach more listeners like you.
Find us by searching for the Neuro Nerds on the Apple Podcast app today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.